Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a jungle warfare riser in Ableton Live 12, and then we're going to color it, organize it, and place it properly in the arrangement, so it actually works like a real drum and bass production tool. So this is not just about making a cool sound. This is about making a tension moment that helps your track move. In jungle and DNB, a riser should feel like it's pulling the listener toward the drop, toward the switch up, toward the next impact. That's the mission. We are keeping this beginner friendly, using stock Ableton devices, and we're aiming for something dark, gritty, and rave ready. First, start with a clean Ableton Live 12 set. Set your tempo around 174 BPM if you want that classic jungle and drum and bass energy. Then create a few simple tracks right away. I like to name them drums, bass, riser FX, impact, and atmos or breaks. That kind of structure might seem boring at first, but trust me, it makes a huge difference when your session starts filling up with edits, chops, and effects. Now let's build the riser source. You've got two solid beginner options here. If you want a fuller synth-style riser, load Wavetable on a MIDI track. Choose a simple saw sound or initialize the patch and build from scratch. Set one oscillator to a saw wave, add a second saw wave with a little detune, and if you want, increase unison a bit for thickness. Then draw one long MIDI note, usually one bar to start, or two bars if you want a bigger build. If you want something a little cleaner and more mechanical, operator is a great choice. Use a sine or triangle as the main tone, and then add a little edge through another oscillator or some feedback. Operator is really nice for a riser that sits under busy breakbeats without turning to mush. Now, here's a really important idea. Think in layers, not just one sound. A convincing jungle riser, usually, has a tonal element, a noisy element, and a bit of space or impact energy. So even if you start with one synth, think about how you can make it feel like a combination of movement and texture. For the actual rise, you can do this two ways. The first way is to draw a MIDI note climb. For example, make the notes rise step by step, like C2, D2, Eb2, F2, G2, Eb2, BB2, and then C3. That gives you a musical tension build, and it's easy to understand visually. The second way, which is often better for jungle and DNB, is to hold one note and automate the movement. That means you keep the pitch steady at first, and you automate things like filter cutoff, pitch, reverb, and distortion. This tends to sound more modern and more controlled, and it keeps the arrangement cleaner. So let's add movement. Put auto filter after your synth. Start with a high pass or band pass filter, and automate the cutoff so it opens over the course of the riser. A good starting point is to begin low, maybe around 150 to 300 Hz, and then open it all the way up to somewhere around 8 to 12 kHz by the end. If you want a darker jungle vibe, bandpass can sound really nasty in a good way. It gives you that feeling of the sound moving through a tunnel or fog, instead of just a simple bright sweep. If your synth allows pitch automation, you can also raise the pitch by 12 semitones over one or two bars. That classic upward climb is still one of the strongest tension tricks in electronic music. It works because your ear understands the motion instantly. Now let's dirty it up. A jungle riser almost never sounds convincing if it's too clean. So add saturator or roar. With saturator, try driving it around 3 to 8 dB and turn on soft clip if needed. Just make sure the output is under control, so you don't accidentally make it harsh in a bad way. If you want more attitude, roar is fantastic for heavier character. Use it carefully at first, because it can get aggressive fast, but when it's dialed in right, it gives you that old rave speaker pressure, that grainy, pushed, almost dangerous texture. Before or after the distortion, add a Q8. This is where you protect your mix. High pass the riser so it doesn't fight the kick and bass. Usually somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz is a good start, and if the sound is still too thick, push it higher. Also watch out for mud in the 250 to 500 Hz zone, because that area can make the riser feel cloudy. If there is too much fizz, gently tame the upper highs around 6 to 9 kHz. The goal is not to make it dull. The goal is to make it intense without being painful. Now for space. Add hybrid reverb. Start with a decay of around 2 to 5 seconds. Keep the pre-delay somewhere between 10 and 30 milliseconds, and use a modest dry slash wet amount, maybe 10 to 25%. Keep the low end out of the reverb using the low cut, because you do not want bass energy washing around in the build. For a darker jungle feel, go for a shorter, denser reverb rather than a huge shimmering one. You want the riser to feel like it's opening a portal into the drop, not floating away into ambient space. Then use utility to manage width. If needed, widen the sound a bit, maybe 120 to 140%, but only if it still feels solid in mono. This is important. A riser that sounds huge in stereo but collapses badly in mono can cause problems later. So always check. Once the riser feels good, it's time to make your life easier. Resample it to audio. Create a new audio track, set the input to resampling, and record the performance. This is a huge workflow move, because audio is easier to edit, reverse, stretch, and chop than a live synth chain. And in jungle, that sampled, edited feel often sounds more authentic anyway. After you've bounced it, you can reverse the tail, trim the fade, or even chop the riser into rhythmic pieces. That opens up a lot of creative options. Now place it in the arrangement. A classic DNB move is to start the riser 2 bars before the drop. Let it grow across those 2 bars, and push the intensity more strongly in the final bar. Then either let it hit right into the drop or cut it just before the impact for a tighter punch. For an old-school jungle feel, you can place it before a drum break switch, and follow it with a snare fill, a break chop, or a sub drop. That gives the arrangement real movement and attitude. A really effective trick is to create a tiny gap right before the drop. Even a brief moment of near silence can make the drop hit way harder. That little pocket creates anticipation, and anticipation is everything in this style. Now let's clean up the session. This part matters more than a lot of beginners realize. Color coding and organization will make you faster and less confused, especially once your track starts getting dense. A simple system could be drums in red or orange, bass in blue or purple, riser effects in yellow or green, impacts in pink or white, and atmos or textures in gray or teal. Rename your tracks clearly too. Something like FX Riser Jungle or FX Reverse is way better than leading everything as Audio 1 or MIDI 2. And if you've got related FX tracks, group them together. That keeps the session neat and makes it easier to move sections around. Also, color the clips themselves. When you can see your risers, impacts, drum chops, and bass automation at a glance, you work much faster. In fast-paced jungle production, that clarity is a superpower. Now, if you want to level this up a little, here are a few extra coaching ideas. Try saving a drop-safe version of the riser before you add heavy effects. That way you can compare a cleaner version against a more aggressive one later. Sometimes the better choice is not the most extreme one. Also, automate with purpose. Pick only a few controls to move, maybe one for tone, one for energy, and one for space. If you automate too many things at once, the riser can start to feel random instead of intentional. And always check the transition at low volume. If the riser still feels tense when your monitor level is down, that usually means the arrangement is doing its job. If it only feels exciting when it's loud, it may be overprocessed or too dependent on brute force. Here's a nice advanced variation if you want to experiment. Bounce the riser, reverse it, and then add a short forward attack on top. That reverse-rise hybrid creates a strong pull before the drop and can sound really dramatic. You can also make the riser more breakbeat reactive by chopping it rhythmically, so it answers the drums. Instead of a smooth swell, try 1/8 note bursts, then 1/16 note bursts, and then a sustained tail. That can glue the effects to the groove better. Another great option is to create 2 risers, one brighter and higher, and one dirtier and lower. Use them on alternating builds so the track feels bigger without repeating the same trick every time. For a quick homework challenge, build 3 versions of the same 2-bar riser. Make 1 clean, 1 dirty, and 1 that's chopped and synced to the break. Then bounce all 3 to audio, color them differently, and place them before the same drop. Listen to which one gives you the strongest lift, which one leaves the most space, and which one feels the most jungle. So to recap, you've now got the full workflow. Build a simple synth source, shape it with filter automation, add grit with saturation or roar, control the low end with EQ, add space with reverb, resample to audio, and then organize everything with colors and clear track naming. That's the real lesson here. A strong riser is not just a sound design trick. It's arrangement discipline. It's workflow. It's knowing how to make the tension feel intentional, so the drop feels inevitable. Keep it focused, keep it dark, and let the riser do its job. Raise the tension, and make that drop hit like warfare.